And thank you for joining us today in downloading the Grace Tabernacle podcast. We invite you to journey with us as we transform our hearts and focus our eyes to worship. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful for achieving the goal of growing closer with Christ. Now let's join in fellowship with a message from our pastor, Gary Washburn.
This message is going to hit somebody right between the eyes. And it's not to hurt you, it's to help you. I'm just telling you, I know that it's going to help everybody in some capacity. Some of you already know, but yet it's going to be like today with what's been going on in your life the past week, the past month, or this whole year, whatever. It's going to be like today that God just backed a dump truck to you and just dumped all this wonderful help on your life today. And if you'll receive it, you'll walk out of here absolutely free, and you're going to feel like you're walking on air. I'm telling you, I know that's going to happen for some people, and I hope it's you. Okay. I want to talk to you about radical forgiveness. Radical forgiveness. You know, it was said of Jesus, he was so radical that people said he's crazy. He's got a demon. They said that of Jesus. Can you imagine saying the Son of God has a demon? They said he's got a demon. He's so radical in the things that he did. Some people said he's crazy. Can you imagine calling the Son of God crazy? You can talk back if you want to. They said he's extreme, and many people, after they heard him preach, especially the sermon when he said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part with me, a lot of them said, whoa, we were here for the miracle signs and wonders, and now you've gone a little too far. That's a little extreme for me. They said he was extreme. They said he's crazy. They said he had a demon. Now, let me ask you this. Shouldn't they be saying the same thing about people who say they're following Christ today? I'm just asking a question. When's the last time somebody said you're crazy when you were talking about the things of God? Not that long ago. When's the last time someone said, oh, you got a demon because you're just absolutely out of your mind? When did somebody say, you're extreme? And you should have said, you ain't seen nothing yet. If that bothers you, you just keep following me. Don't unfriend me on Facebook, but just keep following me. So they should be saying about the same thing about us. If you had to say Christianity is about one thing, what would you say it would be about? You can only say one thing. You'd say love. Yeah. But love that does something. Radically forgives anybody for anything they've ever done. You mean anything? You mean murderer? You mean a child molester? You mean a terrorist? You mean people who cut off a Christian? Yeah. I told you it's radical. Radical. That's what Christianity is about. Radical forgiveness. Let's look at the definition of radical. Dictionary says it's new. It's different from what is traditional or ordinary. Extreme changes in existing views, habits, or opinions, and some of the synonyms are are you comfortable wearing that label? I mean, don't be crazy just to be crazy, but I mean, it's going to look like you're crazy when you operate in radical forgiveness. How can you forgive him what they've done to you? Only if you've experienced it can you give it away. Radical. I mean, you think about it. First time I heard the gospel, I was 19 years old. I heard the gospel, and a guy shared this Bridge to Life diagram with me that you can see online called Bridge to Life, put out by the Navigators. And for the first time in my life, everything that I'd ever heard about Jesus finally came together. And I thought, this is the most radical thing I've ever heard in my life. That God would come down to earth and be a human being and let people treat him the way they treated him for the purpose that he knew that he was going to lay down his life. They didn't take his life. He's going to lay down his life willingly, knowing that what he was doing was he was taking the punishment for my sins and your sins and the sins of the whole world in his body at one time so that you and I could be made right with God. That's crazy. That's extreme. That's revolutionary. And when I believed it, God gave me the faith to believe it. I started telling everybody about this. And they said, "You're crazy. You're extreme. You're not right." I said, "No, this is true. This is in the Bible. This is what this is all about." Even church people kind of had problems with some of that. "Well, you're extreme. You're going to scare people away. And the Bible says, surely he's borne our griefs and carried our sorrows and the pains of punishment. And yet we ignorantly considered him smitten of God." Well, he must be being punished by God, that man on the cross. No, he was actually wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement, the punishment for us to have peace with God was upon him. And by his stripes that wounded him, we are actually healed and made whole through that. And it says that all of us are like sheep. We've all gone astray. But the Lord laid on him the iniquities, the sin, the self-willed rebellion, everything wrong we've ever done, every unholy thing, God laid it on him. And then the strange thing is that yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. You know why God had to turn his back on Jesus when he was on the cross? Because that's his beloved son that he never stopped loving, but all our sin, all the wrath of God was put on Jesus at one time, on an innocent person, on an innocent lamb, someone who had never sinned. It was all put on him so that you don't ever have to bear it, ever, 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 ever. It's too good to be true. It's too good to be true, I'm telling you. But it's true. And when you find out and you say, "Well, first of all, that's just too good to be true. I don't know if I..." But when you finally say, "That is true." Wow! Whoa! I believe that. I become extreme. I become crazy. Yeah, yeah, I'm crazy. Yeah, go ahead. I don't care. That's revolutionary. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You ain't seen nothing yet. Oh, I like it when the preacher walks on pews. Well, I ain't doing it. I ain't doing it to be crazy. I ain't doing it to entertain anybody. I ain't doing it to show off. I'm just telling you, I've already gone off the deep end. This is the greatest news I've ever heard in my life. I really believe this. I really believe that God became a man. He felt pain my body feels. He was spit upon. He had his beard pulled. He had his face beaten. The movie of the Passion is as gory as it can be. It doesn't even do justice because the Bible says that you wouldn't even recognize Jesus looked like a human being after they got done with him. I believe Jesus did that. And it pleased God It pleased God to let people do that to his son? Yeah. God's not a child abuser. It pleased him because it was the only way for you and I to ever be able to have a relationship with God. Someone who was innocent had to pay the price for all sins of the whole wide world, including Hitler's sins, including Stalin's sins, and including George, what's his name, crazy guy, Manson, and anybody else, ugly glory, that had done some gory things, and the things that ISIS does, chopping, he paid for all of it. But not everybody's saved. You don't get saved because Jesus did that. He's already paid your debt in full, but you get saved when you receive the faith that God has given you by grace, and you say, I believe that now. I really do believe it. And I trust in that, not in my performance or being a good person or anything like that. I trust in that alone is the only way whereby I'll ever be made right with God. Jesus paid it all. All. I don't add one thing to that. If you try to add anything to grace, it's not grace. By grace, God's ability, God's enablement, God's riches at Christ's expense, the whole sin problem of the whole world was paid at one time 2,000 years ago on the cross. Now, the bottom line is you either believe that or you don't. I know it's extreme. I know it's radical. I know it's revolutionary, but you have the free will to choose whether you really believe that or not. And one of the signs that people really believe that is they get radical themselves, because it comes the best news you ever heard in your life. See, radical forgiveness is part of God's plan for you. He's done this. He wants the whole world to receive it. But not everybody will. But if you receive God's radical forgiveness, and you got to know this, you got to know that all your sins, even the sins you haven't committed yet, were paid for 2,000 years ago. You mean things I haven't even done? That's right. Jesus was an overpayment. He's already covered. Not so you can run around and just do what you want. Don't misunderstand grace. It's not that license to sin. It's just that the payment of Jesus was so sufficient, so perfect. When he said it is finished, it was paid in full for all time. And that's the only place and the only place and the only way in whereby anybody in the universe will ever be made right with God. It was through the blood of Jesus and that alone. And it was all taken care of right then. Every bit. Now, I can lie to you in the next 10 minutes. I can tell you a big lie. I could commit sin. I could commit adultery. Then I'd be dead after that. I wouldn't be here very long. I could commit murder. I could commit, you say, a Christian can do anything anybody else does. You got free will. But the radical thing about forgiveness is to know that God, who never has any sin whatsoever, holy God, has forgiven me through this redemption process where Jesus became the Lamb, a sacrificial Lamb of God that paid for all sin for all time. Whew. Wow. Woo! Yeah, you ought to say that right now. Go ahead. Woo! I mean, it's that. Even angels don't understand the grace of God. They're looking at it and say, wow. Because it's something you have to experience. Angels haven't experienced that. They don't need that. But we have experienced it if we've been born from above. It's radical. It's part of God's plan for your life. It's part of your life calling. You got to think about in your life, there's so many things that are beyond your control that have happened to you.
I mean, when you were born, the parents you're born with, the conditions you're born with, whether you're born in poverty, where you're born in wealth, where what part of the country you're born in, with all the so many things beyond your control. You had absolutely no control of that whatsoever. Sovereign God puts you in certain places. And then there's been bad things that have happened in your life, some of which God probably has prevented from happening that you may never know anything about. But there have been some bad things that happened in your life that God didn't stop. He allowed it. It wasn't his permission. It wasn't like he wanted it to happen to you, but he sovereignly allowed you to go through whatever it is, the hurt, the pain, and all these things in our life are things that are beyond our control. You don't control when you're going to die. I mean, I take vitamins, we exercise, and we do all this stuff to try to stay healthy, but we are not going to extend our life beyond the limit when God said, that's it. So today I'm going to go eat a great big pizza. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do my part. God does his part. He's faithful. I like what Woody Allen said about death. He said, I'm not afraid to die. I just don't want to be there when it happens. And you shouldn't be afraid of death if you're born again too, because there's really nothing to be afraid of. But there are things that have happened in our life we have to understand. God is so big, so sovereign, so great. I'm not saying that the bad things in your life that God wanted them to happen, but I'm saying that God knew they would happen. And in his grace, he'll take it and make something good come out of it if you'll cooperate. Remember the time the man who was born blind, the disciples were asking the question to Jesus, there's a man that's born blind here. Now, Lord, was this man born blind because it was some sin that he did, or maybe it was his parents' sin? Which was it? And Jesus said, neither. It was so the glory of God could be seen. Now, you could say that about the situation in your life that you're embarrassed about. Maybe you've gone through divorce. Maybe you were abused. Maybe you did some things you shouldn't have done. Maybe you were on drugs. Maybe you did all kinds of things. Christians can do anything the world does. You've done it. And the things, you know, you don't want the church to know about it. You wouldn't want to put your past up on the screens or everybody see what you've done. Neither would I. And God, in his grace and mercy, won't let that happen. But he does say in this sense in your life, okay, God could have stopped it, but he didn't. So then God, who is a good God all the time, may use this thing in your life for the glory of God. That God get fame, that God get known, God be recognized as, wow, he's greater than I thought he was. Now listen. What have you received, whatever you have received from God, you have the ability and the grace from God to be able to give it away. When you receive salvation, because you have been saved, you qualify to be able to tell other people your testimony. And you can give away, it's up to them whether they receive it or not, but you can give away what you've received. If you've been healed in your physical body, you qualify to tell other people what God has done, and you qualify to give away, if they'll receive it, what you've received. If you've been healed of been delivered from an addiction, whether it be alcohol, drugs, pornography, whatever it is, don't matter what it is, then you qualify to be able to help the other person and set the other captives free. So that's your glory story. Everybody say glory story. You have one. Yours is different from mine, and we're still writing it, by the way. But your glory story glorifies God. Don't come to church and put your nice fancy clothes on and your makeup and your hair and all this kind of stuff and try to pretend that I've never sinned before. I was born a Christian. That's called lying. You are a liar. Nobody was born a Christian. You might have been born in a Christian family, and you maybe didn't do the drugs, and you did all the stuff. You don't have to do all that stuff to have good testimony. But everybody's got a glory story. Everybody's had issues. Everybody in the church has issues. And the church is supposed to be transparent and real and sincere. Nobody has got it all together. Nobody. No preacher, no Christian, nobody's got it all together. There's only one who's had it all together, and that's why we call him Savior. We all need to get saved. So what you've received from God, you need to give away. And that's why there ought to be a lot more people here setting captives free because of what you've gone through. Hallelujah. Even if you're still struggling with something, just be honest. Well, I'm still struggling with. Well, let's, brother, let's gather around you and pray for you. You're just a work in progress. That's all you are. Don't lose hope. Church people are not people that have it all together. Listen, we know that. We've been in church for 32 years, and we know it. Second thing about radical forgiveness is it's a choice to whether you're going to trust God or not. No one's going to force you. No one's going to force you. Your mama can't say, now, come on, you're going to go to church with me, and you're going to get saved whether you like it or not. No, I'm afraid that's not going to happen. It's your choice. You're either going to trust God or not. But once you have received radical forgiveness, how many people here know you have received radical forgiveness? You ought to be, come on, locked up somewhere without any human contact for the rest of your, you know. But you know you've received radical forgiveness. Okay, whoa, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Now, those of you who know you've received radical forgiveness, here's the deal. When somebody treats you wrong, forgiveness is not an option. You can't sit around and say, well, I don't know if I'm going to forgive them. No, I'm not ready to forgive them. No, it's not an option. That should have been a really strong amen right there. See? You're not convinced yet. No, no. Well, I just can't. You're digging yourself a grave. When people treat you wrong and you've received radical forgiveness, there are zero exceptions. You must forgive those, especially those who have hurt you or who are hurting you the most. But what about the one who hurt me? If I forgive them, they're getting off the hook. Well, who told you that? Here's a scripture for you, for those of you who've been holding on to something because you said, I'm not going to forgive them because they need to be punished. Here it is. Here's a scripture for you. In Genesis, write this one down. Keep it in your Bible. You're going to need to use it. Genesis 18:25. This is God speaking. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what's right? Who's the judge of all the earth? God. Won't he do what's right? Well, you trust him with that, see. And you get off the bench because you're not the judge. Shall he not do? He'll do what's right. Your part is not to take vengeance. Your part is take your hands off their throat. Vengeance is not yours. Justice is not yours. Leave it to the Father who says, I'll do what's right. You may see it or you may not see it, but it's none of your business. I'm preaching a lot better than you're saying amen, but that's fine. They're getting off the hook, preacher. Who told you that? Number three, radical forgiveness is the key. Everybody say the key. It's the key that unlocks God's abundant life for you. I'm going to tell you a key right now that if you'll start putting this into practice, and I'm going to show you biblically where, things are going to change in your life for the better this very moment. Guarantee you, it's a key. Do you remember when Jesus cursed the fig tree? Outside Jerusalem, he's walking by. And he went up to see if there's some figs there, if no figs there. And he said, he just said, you know, curse it to you and you're never going to bear any more fruit. Just something like that. And the Bible says, and the disciples heard it.
He's talking to a fig tree. Why no?
They didn't dare ask him. Next day, they come walking by, and sure enough, that fig tree has dried up from the roots overnight. And Peter says, Lord, the fig tree that you cursed, look at that, look at that. Wow. And Jesus said these words, mark it down. Your Bible more than likely doesn't have it right down there accurately like it's literally said in the Hebrew. Your Bible says, have faith in God. But that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, have God's faith. Have God's faith. There's a difference. He said to Peter, that thing's dried up. Jesus said, have God's faith. And I say to you, if you have God's faith and you speak to this mountain and you say, now be removed and cast into the sea, it'll obey you. And anything you say, it shall happen. If you have God's faith. Now, hang on. This is where it gets good. Next, Jesus says these words, and it sounds like it's totally out of context, like, well, what has that got to do with this? And here's the words, and this is the vital key that will turn on the ignition in your life today, and the abundant life will start right now if you hear this with the ears of the Spirit. It's the next verse that he said. It goes right along with this. Verse 25. Whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, let it drop, let it go. What's the next two words? Oh, in order that when you turn the ignition on, that the engine will turn on. In order that when you turn the key on, you don't have a dead battery. In order that when you turn the car on, you're not out of gas. In other words, this will not work unless you do this. God's faith will not work in you if you don't walk in radical forgiveness toward everyone all the time for the rest of your life. And right now, that one that's coming to your mind, it won't work. I'm telling you, it just won't work. Forget it. Close your Bible, go home. If you're not going to believe that, none of this is going to work for you. It won't work. Go home. I can't help you. If you won't really believe Jesus, I can't help you. There's nothing I can do. Go. See you. Have a nice life. That's the key. Did you hear that? In order. God's already forgiven you, but so in that sense, as a believer, you're already forgiven, but you will short circuit God's faith operating in your life. It will not accomplish what it's sent forth to do in your life. It will not move a mountain. It will not heal the sick. It ain't going to help anybody anywhere, anything. It's just going to discourage you. It ain't going to work if you don't operate according to owner's manual. I know it's good preaching because it's the Word. Amen. It's the truth. It won't work. And ask me how I know. You see these lines in my forehead up here? And around? I'm trying to save you a lot of heartache. It won't work. It will not work. It shuts down right here and now. There is no abundant life without this. That's key. Now, if you gave me your cell phone and it had a passcode on it, and you say, here, use my cell phone. I say, well, yeah, but you got to tell me the passcode. You'd have to give me the passcode in order for me to use your cell phone. If you said, here, take my car and use it, well, that'd be fine, but I got to have the keys. get in your car, be able to use it. This is the key. This is the passcode to the abundant life. This is it. This is it. I'm telling you, it's short-circuiting your life. I don't care what they've done to you, how wrong they were. You might be 99.9% absolutely right in this issue between you and someone. But if you're 0.1% wrong, you're still wrong. I told you it's radical. Well, God's not fair. Oh, yeah, he's fair, or he's more than fair. When you look at the cross and you tell me that's not fair. No, no, no. God paid. He paid for the whole sins of everybody's sins all at one time, and he ain't going to do it again because that was enough. That was radical, and God did it. And so here's a scripture. Let me just add this to this to help you with this. Everything works by love in the Christian life. Everything, 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 everything. I don't care what it is. Galatians 5, 6 says this. If we are in Christ, that's a word for saying, you know, once you're born from above, once you're in, you're born from above, you're called in Christ. He's in you and you're in him. For in Christ, back then it would be circumcision. You know, that's a sign of the covenant. Neither circumcision or uncircumcision doesn't matter. You could say it this way. When you're in Christ, whether you're baptized or you're not baptized, that's not really the big issue. But what counts for anything at all is that faith, God's faith that he gives you, so you can operate like the Son of God did on the earth. God's faith. Given to you as a gift. So you can operate like the Son of God did on the earth. I'm waiting for an amen because you should have said, yeah, amen. Yeah, right. You're learning. God's faith in you, okay? Now, it is, notice, it is activated, it is energized, it is expressed through one way. God's love. Why does the Bible say God is love? That's his essence. That's his character. And so everything he gives you as a gift, I don't care if you have the gift of preaching, the gift of prophecy, gift of teaching, gift of administration, gift of mercy, gift of speaking in tongue, gift of interpreting, gift of whatever it is. It all is supposed to operate through God's love. And if it's not operating through God's love, which would include you have to forgive everybody, everything, all the time, to walk in love, then that gift you have is short-circuited. It's not working like it's supposed to be working in fullness of power. You're supposed to be operating in 220 power. Instead, you're down here about 10, 15. I'm telling you, I don't care how long you've been a Christian. I don't care if you're a preacher. I don't care if you're a missionary. I don't care if you're a bishop. I don't care if you're an epistle. I don't care what you are. Doesn't matter whatsoever. It will not work. The Christian life will not work for you if you don't operate in what this key principle I'm telling you today, radical forgiveness and walking in love. Loving your enemies. And those that are cursing you right now. Blessing them. Well, preacher, how can I do that? You can't. No, you can't. You got right now, you're limited in so many ways because you live in this body called flesh. You don't have a sin nature once you're born from above. You have God's nature, but you live in flesh. So when someone curses you, you'd like to do what your flesh wants to do and punch them right in the nose. And if you do, you make a tragic mistake. And if you say, well, I'm just going to give them a piece of my mind, you don't have enough of your mind to give away. You don't need to do that. No, because Jesus said you are to lose your mind in order to get his. So the way you think about the situation, in my opinion, it doesn't matter worth anything.
all it really matters is now I'm following Jesus, is what he thinks and what he says. Well, I can't do that. That's right. I agree. Neither can I. Radical forgiveness requires God's help. He knows you can't do it. I can't forgive that my father who molested you. I know. I can't forgive that lousy husband who walked out on me and the children. I know. I know. I can't forgive that so-and-so who stole from me. I know. I know. I know. Yeah, it was wrong. Absolutely was wrong. I can't forgive. I understand. You can't. You can't. That's why we had this altar call earlier here today, this morning, with that song, which is a beautiful song. You know, when there's a call given like that, you ought to just go to the altar. Whether you know what you're going for or not doesn't really matter. Sometimes God will reveal things to you once you're there. And it may be he'll bring somebody up to your mind that you need to forgive. And you say, God, I can't forgive them. I'm hurt too bad. Or they hurt my wife, or they hurt my children, and they hurt me so bad, I can't forgive them. God knows that. You can't do it on your own. But God's going to give you grace to forgive them. And so what you're going to have to do with somebody, you say, I can't forgive them. I know I'm supposed to, but I can't. You're going to have to come to the altar, maybe every day for a while, so you can be altered. I can't forgive this lousy so-and-so. It's not right what they did to me, God. You know it, and I'm even mad at you, God, for letting it happen. Can you be honest? He already knows it. But every time you come to him and talk to him about it and pour out your feelings, pour out your emotions, then what he's doing is saying, I know, I know. I never expected you to do this on your own. I expected this to bring you to your knees. I expected this for you to realize you can't do this on your own. It's impossible for you to do it on your own. I knew it would be impossible for you. I expected for you to come to me and find there's a throne of grace that will enable you to do what you could not ever do. I never expected you to do it. My son has done it, and I'm going to help you. I am a God who's very present help in the time of need. I'm for you. I'm not against you. Come to me. But you got to come. You got to come. You got to ask. Or you can stay all puffed up and mad. And then you try to cope with it through drinking or drugs or whatever you do to try to cope with things. Have your depression and do it. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. You're hurting yourself. You're hurting yourself. And you're hurting other people who probably need you right now, and you're not able to help them. And so forgiveness, once you have received radical forgiveness, it's a life sentence put on you. It's a life sentence. But you go to God, and it may take a process. It may take time, but you start praying. It probably leads you to what he did for me. He said, now pray for him. Well, I'll pray for him. God, send fire bolts, then lightning, and then zap the snot out of him, God. Jerk the slack out of him. That's not what I want. That's what James and John want to do, sons of thunder. Lord, don't you want us to call down fire out of him? We got authority. We'll call fire down, and we'll crispy critters. We'll turn them into it, but it'll go. No. He said, you don't know what kind of spirit you boys are. Oh, oy vey. And so, no, and then he'll tell you, he'll take you eventually to this place, and he said, now, bless them. What? The word bless just means speak well words. Bless them. All right, but I can only do about 15 seconds. That's all I can take. Okay, 15 seconds today. Bless them. Lord, Help that knucklehead. Okay, that's good. You started. And then you keep on and you keep on and you keep on. And then over a period of time, one day you'll bump into them at Walmart or Publix or whatever. And as soon as you see them, you'll go, "Hey, how are you?" And it wasn't like before, because before, as soon as you see him, "I'm going the other way right now. I ain't nothing to do with it." And you wait for him to get out of the store because you don't want to meet him at the checkout line together. Ask me how I know these things. We have cameras following you everywhere you go. That's how I come up with these sermons. Mm-hmm. And so one day you'll bump into them and the sting is gone. Now, it may still be in them. They may turn and go the other way. But at least, you know what? You'll know that day, I'm free. I really am free. My emotions caught up with the truth. I'm free. And God will walk you through this. God will help you. He wants to help you. He's willing to help you. The movie The Shack, I don't know if any of you saw that movie or not. Don't worry about all the theology in there, but I like the movie myself. But here's one particular point in the movie. A father by the name of Mac, he had his daughter murdered, and the guy doesn't get caught. And God, the father, challenges this man, Mac, to forgive the man who killed his daughter. Now, you tell me that wouldn't take some grace. And he, like any other red-blooded father, wanted to find this guy and strangle him with his bare hands. That was his little girl. And God challenges him to forgive him. And Mac thinks that God just wants to let this guy off the hook. What do you mean, forgive him? I'm even mad at you because you could have stopped it and you didn't stop it. Am I talking to somebody here today? And God teaches Mac that forgiveness is not about forgetting. It's about letting go of the revenge and trusting God will take care of it. Well, God, I don't know if I can trust you to take care of it. So I'm going to take care of it myself. One of the strongest times I ever heard a strong, firm word from God was a day that I had planned to take vengeance myself. I had it all planned out, premeditated. I was going to be in jail by the evening. I'm not kidding. If I had carried out my plan. And I got in my car and actually threw a tape that was playing in my car just where I turned on the car. It just started at that one place. I heard the Lord speak so clear to me. He said, "You take your hands off of this situation or I'm going to take my hands off of you." I broke down and cried. I get tears in my eyes thinking about it. And I said, "Yes, sir." The hurt was still there. Pain was still there. I still didn't like the guy. I went in and told Pam, and we cried together. We prayed together. I said, "God made it clear to me I wasn't going to do this." And I told her what my plans were. We're going to forgive him and just let God handle it. And he handled it. He handled it. And if I would have messed up everything, if I'd have had my way, I wouldn't have been here today. Well, I know that. And it wasn't about a year, 2 years ago, I got a call from a brother was telling me. He said, "You know, so-and-so," he knew I knew this person that caused a lot of trouble for us back in the previous church. He said, "You know, I know so-and-so's in the hospital, and they may have cancer." And I said, and I said, "Oh, really?" You know, like I'm really concerned. And he said, "You ought to go visit him." And I thought, "Yeah, right, you got to." That ain't going to happen. And he left. And I went home, and later on that day, in course of conversation, I told Pam, I said, you know, old so-and-so from the previous church, they said he's in the hospital. And I met old so-and-so today, and he told me about it. And he said the funniest thing. He said, you ought to go visit him. And Pam said, well, you ought to. There was silence in our house for a period of time. And the Lord bore down on me and bore down on me and bore down on me. And the next day, I tried to forget about it. The next day, I was here at the church working. And on my way home, on our way home, you can turn right and head down to the hospital or turn left, go to our house. And that's when the Lord reminded me, yeah, you ought to go visit him. So I did. I prayed everything I knew to pray for. I got there. I prayed he would already be gone and I'd be free. He'd already been released. Praise God he did it. See, it wasn't the Lord. I did it. You know, all that. I got there and lo and behold, he's there and his wife's there and ain't nobody else in the room. I walk in the door and they smile and they say, well, look who the cat dragged in, you know. And I walked over to him, you know, and I said, I heard you's here and blah, blah, blah. We talked for a minute, grabbed hands. Prayed for him to be healed, prayed for him to be delivered. And we had very kind words back and forth, never brought up the incident. I walked out of there. Thank you, God. You helped me to take my hand off that man's throat. Thank you, Father. I didn't know that this was hindering me. I didn't know that it was still bothering me. I thought I was over it, but I wasn't. And at the right time, God brought it to my attention, and he released me. He helped me. He did it such a gracious, kind way. It was wonderful. It was wonderful. And I tell you that because God's doing the same thing in your life right now. And there'll be more. And there'll be more. I ain't no hurry. And if you got to leave, go ahead and leave. But I'm going to finish this message. Okay. Now, I don't mean to be cocky when I say that. I mean, sometimes people have to leave. I understand. So if you have to, I understand. No one's going to be upset. If you get tired because you're sitting there for a long time, you just stand up. One time my grandmother on my dad's side, I went to church with her. I was a little boy. And a little country church. And it's a Baptist church. And all of a sudden, I mean, the preacher preaching a long time, and all of a sudden, she's 80-something years old, and Grandma, she stood up. Everybody else sitting down, people looking at her, you know. People didn't even say amen in that church, you know. So if you stand up, that kind of caught everybody's attention. And her daughter's there with her, and I think I was there with seeing this, and I heard the story anyway. But and then after church service, her daughter said, Mama, why did you stand up in church like that? You embarrassed the daylights out of me. Why'd you do that? She said, my legs were hurting. If your legs are hurting, stand up. Just liberty. If you need to walk around, walk around. You think I'm joking? I've listened to preachers who preach a long time and said, I wish you'd shut up. I'm so tired. And that's fine. If they don't have anything to say, they need to shut up. But if they got something to say, they need to keep talking. I got something to say. If I don't, I'll just shut up. 90% of our broken hearts, and we all have some in some capacity, 90% of our broken hearts come being healed, rather, 90% of our healing comes when we're willing to let God finish writing the story of your life, especially in this area where you're offended. You got to give God the pen and say, okay, Lord, I don't know how you're going to do this, but here, you can finish writing the story. I'm not going to write it. You write it. And when we get healed of offenses and unforgiveness, that's where it happens. And here's an acrostic for you. This is a test right now. If you have any of these symptoms right now in your life,
You are not free and you are not healed. You may be in the process, but you're not whole. So see the first letters in yellow? If you have anything inside you that wants to bash somebody when you see them, I want to bash them. That means you're not healed. You're not free. You still have your hand on their throat, so to speak, spiritually. And if you could, you'd choke them and take them down. So if you have any blame, any anger, even if they're dead, even if it's your parents and they're gone, anger. You blame them for not raising you better. You blame them for whatever it is. Anger rises up in you when you think about them. Or you have shame in your life because of the poor choices you made. Or shame because you've hurt somebody else. Because you weren't the mother or the father or the parent or whatever you should have been. You still hurt. And when you're alone sometimes in the middle of the night, it's when you feel it the worst. And so you try to cope. That's all you're trying to do. That's what your addiction's all about. You're just trying to cope with a pain that's not been healed deep inside your heart. That's what you're trying to cope with. It's not the addiction so much. That's just a tool you're using to medicate yourself. So you want to bash somebody. Maybe you want to bash yourself. But when you finally let go of control, listen to me, and you surrender it to God, He'll take that other 10% and handle it. If you just start meeting with Him regularly, the Lord, and surrender it to Him on a daily basis. I still hurt. I still feel blame. I still have anger. I still have shame. I'm still hurt. I still want to bash somebody, God. Okay, God knows it. Now you know it. Now you and He come together and receive His therapy. I don't know what He'll do with you. I don't know if you ever have to face somebody. I don't know if you have to call somebody. Let Him lead you in this. But He'll help you so you can move on with your life. Preacher, it's just too hard. I can't forgive them. Genesis 18:14. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Let me tell you this, though, and you need to hear me clearly. No man can serve two masters. Either you're going to be in charge of your life or God's going to be in charge of your life. Now, you may call Him Lord all you want to, but if you ain't doing what He's told you to do, that's just a bunch of junk and bunch of words. You can't have two masters in your life. Either He is the Lord or you are. Radical forgiveness will free you from anger and danger. Notice that the word anger is just one letter away from danger. Scripture says, but now you must put away from you anger, wrath, malice. That's the intent to harm somebody. Colossians 3:8. You must put away these things and slander and filthy language from your mouth. You got to do that. In Ephesians 4, don't let the sun go down on your anger. Sure, there's going to be things that make you angry. Don't let the sun go. Deal with it. Don't give the devil an opportunity. That's what it says. Danger. There are many diseases in the physical body that are related to unresolved anger issues. Hanging on to things that we need to let go of. Holding a grudge is exactly what the devil wants you to do, because it gives him a legal place to operate in your life and afflict your body, and you don't even know it's him. But every time you give forgiveness, you're also giving yourself a priceless gift, healing to wholeness. Last point, moving forward or staying stuck. That's where we are on this day, last Sunday of April.
Are you going to move forward in your life? Or are you going to stay right where you are? You got children, you need to call and say, I'm sorry. I wasn't there for you when I should have been. I can't take back the past. If they want to rant and rave and all that, just let them get it out of their system. Because you're already forgiven by God. But you need to help them. You want to move forward in life. If you knew today was the last day you're ever going to have on this earth, would you continue to live it just as you are now? Or would you do something different? If you knew you only had 6 weeks left, would you love people more? Would you be quick to forgive more? Would you let some things drop that just you know aren't worth it? Would you give more of yourself? Then do it. Right now. I mean, start right now. Radical. Consider today God's gift to you for a new beginning. Let God use life's reverses, life's setbacks to move you forward. Here's a prayer. Here's a prayer. Put the prayer up, please, on the screen for me. You may not be able to read all the fine print. I'll read it for you. And you can go online and get a copy of this. It's all free online. All the sermon notes are there. This is a prayer for you. I wrote this out. Dear Lord, you have taught me about love and forgiveness by forgiving me for all my sins. Today it's my turn to give myself and others the gift of forgiveness you've given me. I can't do this without you. I ask you to help me find grace to forgive those who've hurt me. I will right now, as an act of my will, I declare that I forgive everyone who's hurt me. Whether I feel like it or not, I choose to forgive them because it's the right thing to do. Today, I choose radical forgiveness. I release every person that I can blame or have feelings of anger or hurt when I see them or think of them. I release them into your hands, and they no longer owe me anything from this day forward. I refuse to bring up the past. I will not discuss this again. And I give it all completely to you. And now I'm free of this once and for all. Lord Jesus, come and heal me and make me whole now in Jesus' name. And amen just means I agree. If you don't have to remember, just I agree. Amen. That's what it means. I agree. It's time to get radical about forgiveness because you can't go forward. This church can't go forward. Nothing's going to happen. No abundant life, period. Until you get radical the way God's been radical towards you. Radical, remember the definition? New and different from what's traditional ordinary. Extreme changes in existing views, habits, or opinions. Get ready to be called crazy, extreme, revolutionary. Now, it's your move. Do you want to get well? Do you? You know what you got to do. You need to get up and come to this altar and talk to God. If you need to talk to counselors coming up, you can stand. That's fine. You can talk with them. But you need to go one-on-one with God based on what you've just heard today. Come right now. Get it? I mean, before I ask everybody to stand up, just get up and come. Just get up and come. Nobody's business but you and God. God had this sermon preached just with you. In fact, your name could have been at the beginning of the sermon. He said, that's me. He's talking to me. Not me. God is talking through me to you. And I believe every person in this room, in some way, God is speaking to you. He wants you to get well. He wants you to get free. It ain't going to be a one-time prayer. I'm not going to kid you.
It could be. It could be right now. I mean, this moment, I've heard some people absolutely get free and their physical body get healed instantly. I don't know how God does that. He just does it.
But we let God happen. Let God have it. You want to say something, brother? Come on.
Praise the Lord. This goes in alignment with what the pastor is saying. Many years ago in Kissimmee, my wife and I, we were giving class to a couple that they were just new in the Lord and they were moving forward. But at one point, the husband kind of stood stuck and we didn't understand why. One day he calls me and he confesses to me that he went to a bar to watch a movie, not a movie, a boxing match. And he ended up running into one of the old buddies that used to sell him drugs. So he gave into it and he actually spent the whole paycheck that he received that he was going to pay his bills with that night. So he was telling me because he wanted to get that out of his system. So I kept him in my prayers throughout the days. And I was just saying, Lord, why would have led him to go back when he was free from this for like almost 10 years? And one day I went to his house to just visit him like a few months later. And talking with him, he felt frustrated. He was talking to me about some of his anxieties. When I started meditating on the Lord, as he spoke, I said, Lord, you need to show me what's causing him to fall back this way. And right there, he opened up his heart. And he confessed to me that when he was 18 years old, he got basically kidnapped by two men. They beat him up and they took his manhood from him. And it was something that he just could not forgive them. And right there, when he said those words, I said to him, that's the problem that you're having. You cannot forgive these people. And you have to let it go. You have to tell the Lord that you forgive them. You need to free yourself from this. And he said to me, I can't. I cannot do that. And I pleaded with him, and he just decided that he could not. A year after that, my friend, he actually comes to my house and tells me, Miguel, they found Alex in the basement in Texas. He hunged himself. And this was a man that truly loved the Lord. But he was dealing with his past. He was dealing with this hurt that he didn't want to let go of. And I think that if the Lord put this message in Pastor Gary, it was for a reason. It's that serious. Only because we're believers doesn't mean that we cannot make those decisions, that we cannot go ahead and make a decision that's going to mess up our future. So I ask you in Jesus' name, if you're here and you're dealing with some kind of unforgiveness or something similar, don't hold back. Come, don't worry about anybody. This is your moment of freedom.
Amen. This is like Mary and the alabaster box. There's a time and a place to move. It is a time to break open the hard outer shell. You bring it. God will break it. There ought to be tears. There ought to be broken. But listen, Pam just got a word. This is vital, and I'm glad you're still here to listen.
As I was sitting there, I just felt this so strong from the Lord, and I thought, oh, Lord, I can't do that. People won't do that. And I could not let it go. I had to, whether anybody does it or not, it doesn't matter to me. I mean, it matters to me, but yet it really matters to the Lord, because I felt like he's the one who said it. And I feel like the Lord strongly told me, right now, get on your phone and you call whoever it is that has caused you pain, that has caused you misery in your life, because you remember it and you keep playing it over and over and over in your mind. I feel like the Lord said, get on the phone all over this auditorium, and you call and you say, I just have to tell you, I'm in church. The Lord told me that I need to forgive you, and I know I do, and I'm just telling you I forgive you and I release you from whatever it is that you did. Now, whether anybody does it or not, this, I've said what I felt like the Lord told me to say while I was sitting right there, and I could not let it go. I was trying to. I kept sitting there, and the Lord said, get up and do it. And so I'm doing it.
This is church, folks. This church. Don't be ashamed. will set you free. You know somebody, get on your phone right now. Just call them. Just brief. You don't have to tell everything. Just say, you know, you're on my heart today. I want you to know I love you. I don't want there to be anything between us. I love you. And if you've done something wrong, then you ask their forgiveness. If they've done something wrong, don't ask their forgiveness. Just say, I love you. I love you. I want to have a relationship with you. I'll talk to you later. Bye. Just real quick, short and sweet. God's at work. Let him do something.
Praise the Lord. Thank you. I just want to share something with you guys. Me and my family, and I love my mom and I love my sisters, and we have, sometimes we get so angry with each other. But when Pastor was talking, Pastor Pam was talking about forgiveness. This was about maybe about the end of last year, Pastor had this same thing about forgiveness. And I told my sister the incident had happened with my family, and it was so bad. And I told him, I said, listen, I said, you know what? I'm going to feed you with a long-handled spoon, girl. Even though you're my sister, I just ain't going to have nothing to do with you. And Pastor was speaking about forgiveness, and I'm going to share this testimony with you. Because when she called me to apologize to me, I said, oh, girl, I forgive you, but I didn't mean it. God corrected me on a Sunday because I didn't mean that when I told her that I forgave her. And I had to leave the church. And before I can get off this parking lot, I had to call my sister and say, listen, I lied. When I told you that I forgive you for what you did to mom, I didn't forgive you. I didn't. And I lied. But for someone today, there is a cry out that God wants you to truly forgive that person that's truly hurt you. And no matter what that situation is, once you release it and tell it, and mean it from your heart, watch God mend that relationship. And I'm a living witness that he will do it. He will do it. Just be obedient to the word. It's a word being cried out, forgiveness. For anyone, any relationship, daughter with mother, mother with child, sister for sister, brother with brother, forgiveness. Because you don't know what the next day may bring. So please, make that phone call. Make it today. Be blessed. Thank you, Lord.
We're just going to linger. If you need to leave, then that's okay, by all means. That's okay.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope that today's message has made an impact on your life and has helped you move closer to the heart of the Father. For more Grace Tabernacle resources, or if you desire further counseling or prayer, please feel free to contact us at 352-748-3255 or visit us on the web at gracetab.org. Have a blessed day.